We are in the second week of a sermon series that I've entitled All Things New. Did you know there were three times in human history when God spoke the words All Things New? The first was at the creation of the world. We looked at this last week, when God first spoke and all things became new in this world. The second time that God spoke all things new was at the cross. At the cross, and every time someone comes to the cross of Christ and gets saved, the Bible says that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The last time that God will say all things new is at the end of this world. When the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, one day God is going to say, behold, I make all things new. For former things are passed away, and God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll talk some more about when that's going to take place next week as we continue this study together. The truth is, the fact that our God can make all things new is a great testament to the resurrection power that He possesses. Our God is a God of life, and He is the giver of life. He is the only giver of life. And as we look through the ages of time, throughout the history of this world, what we see is a God who brings life out of death, a God who brings order out of chaos, and a God who brings beauty even out of the heap of the ashes that humanity leaves behind. This is the power of our God. And today, we've gathered to celebrate our God who is ever working in the decay and the destruction of this world, and even in the decay and destruction of our lives, to bring new life to each one of us. That's the God that we're celebrating today. Now, last week, we discovered how God first made all things new at creation. And when God first started this world, He made everything that exists in the world in 6 days. And He looked at everything that He had made, and He made a declaration. He said, oh, that's very good. He looked at all of His creation. God made everything for one express purpose, and that is to give Him glory and to fulfill His will, to do His pleasure. That's why all of us were created. And yet we found out that mankind from the very, very beginning defied God's created purpose for himself and chose to sin and brought on the curse of sin and death upon this old world. The world that we're living in today is not functioning how God originally intended for it to. We made a choice that screwed everything up. And yet even after man made that choice, God made a promise to him the same day that one day He was going to send someone who was going to make everything right again, who was going to make all things new again. And friends, that person that God sent, the Messiah, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who has come to make all things new. When Jesus stepped down on this earth to do just that, the road that He traveled led Him straight to a place called the cross. At the cross, Jesus Christ did all that was necessary to make all things new in your life today. The truth of the matter is, you may be living in a winter season of life. As you look at your life today, you may feel that your life is in ruins. You may feel that your marriage is in shambles and is about to be over. You may feel that there's not much hope for you in your future. But I've got good news for you today. We still have a God who is able to make all things new in your life. And if you turn in faith to the Lord today, He can begin to rewrite the story of your life. You may not feel like there is hope, but you can leave this place with hope as you come to understand the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so at the cross, Jesus did all that was necessary to make all things new in your life. And to understand this, I want to invite you to look at our text verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 17 with me if you would. If you're there, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, where the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can we read that out loud together? Let's read it together. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'll tell you something. If you would be willing to come to the cross of Christ and believe and what Jesus did for you there, He has the power to make all things new in your life, to completely transform your life for His glory. That's what can happen to you at the cross. Now, those of us in here that have been saved, we know all too well what it is to come to the cross of Christ and experience the change that God brings to a life when we meet Jesus there. We sing the hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And boy, if you've come to the cross, you know all too well the change that God brings to a life when a person, a sinner, comes to Jesus and receives the salvation that only He can bring. As you're sitting here this morning on this Easter Sunday, you may wonder, exactly how can the cross of Christ make such a difference in your life? And I want you to notice with me from the Bible three transformational truths about the cross of Christ. As we look at these truths, why don't we bow our heads together another time and just ask God to speak to our hearts. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to encourage you to just take a quiet, reflective moment. Tune out the distractions of this morning, frustrations, the things that wait after the service is over for you. For just a few moments, will you give God's Word your full attention? Won't you pray silently in your heart with me as I pray out loud, and let's ask for God to speak to us together today. Our Father, we come before You, and we're certainly privileged to be able to open the Scriptures and have the freedom to do so. You've given us every reason to have hope and joy in our hearts because of the resurrection power of Your Son that has made all things new for us. And I pray, God, for every person here. I pray that You would speak to the deepest need of every heart. There are some here who need to be saved, and there are some here who need to be revived. And I pray, God, that You would do that work in every heart. For those that are walking with You closely even now, I pray they'd be encouraged through the truths that we'll look at from the Scriptures today. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You'll do the work that I can't. Use Your Word to speak to the deepest needs of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Three transformational truths that we learn when we come to the cross. The first one I want you to write down is I want you to notice the crisis at the cross. I want you to notice the crisis at the cross. You see, at the cross of Christ, there is a great crisis that takes place. If you look in our verse, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ. Now let's read that out loud together. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now the key word that I want you to note in that phrase is the word if. It's a very powerful word. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ. That word if is a word that indicates a condition. Listen to it. It means that what is being spoken of here is not necessarily true for everybody. Now, if you are in Christ, what is stated here is true for you. But the other side of that is, if you are not in Christ, then what is stated here cannot be true about you. And here is the qualifying fact that everybody needs to understand. Nobody is in Christ by accident. You may be sitting there wondering, what in the world does it mean to be in Christ at all? We'll get to that in just a minute. But I want you to understand that nobody is saved. Nobody is in Christ by accident. As a pastor, many times I've had people come to me and say, well, I've been a Christian my whole life. I mean, I went to church from the time I was a little baby. And I've always believed in God. And people will make statements like that to me. I have news for you. Based on the Bible, that cannot be true. As much as you want it to be. In fact, you are not born a Christian, but so much to the contrary, the Bible says that you were born in sin. If you look down at your notes, at Psalm chapter number 51 and verse 5, the Bible says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every person is born in sin. Every person is born with a sin nature. That is an inherent tendency to do what is wrong. Now, if we'd be honest with each other, every one of us would have to admit at some point in your life you've done something wrong. Can we be honest and just go ahead and get this out of the way? Have you ever done something wrong before? Raise your hand if you have. All right, if you haven't, you're lying. And so you just sinned, all right? So there you go, all right? You just undid yourself, all right? But every one of us has done something wrong in our life. We're born with the tendency to do the wrong thing. Emily and I, we have five kids, and the first four were girls, all right? We got Addie, Hazel, Holly, and Harper, all right? So we got all the H's there. Then the last one was a boy. You say, are you done having kids? Yes, we finally got the boy. We're all done, okay? I don't know if we're quite done or not, but we love having kids. And it's been interesting. Jack is our youngest. He's our boy. And it's been very interesting. Some of you have told me about this for a long time, how different boys are from girls. All right? They're very different. All right? Very different. And Jack, he's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with Jack. But Jack, he's a little sinner. I'm telling you. There's never time in my life that I've had to sit him down and teach him. He's just over 1 year old now, and I've never had to sit down with Jack and teach him how to annoy his sisters. But I tell you what, I get a kick out of watching him do it. All right? And it's just fantastic. He loves to do it and pester his older sisters. I've never once had to teach him how to disobey. The boy, he's got that look in his eyes sometimes. We'll tell him not to do something, and then he looks at his mother. He looks at what she told him not to do, and he looks at his mother, and you know exactly what's going on in that little brain of his. He's thinking, how serious are you, Mom? See, we have a natural inborn tendency, and it's not just Jack, it's all of us. We all have this tendency to do the wrong thing. If you be honest in your own spirit, you know this is true. Because we are sinners, born sinners, therefore we choose to sin. And the Bible says that all of us have. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen to me. Because you've sinned and I've sinned, we don't deserve to be rewarded for our sin, but we deserve to be punished for our sin. When you do something that's wrong, you don't deserve to be rewarded for that. You deserve to be punished for it. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages or the punishment of sin is death. Now, what's the punishment of sin? Help me out here this morning. That's what we deserve. And listen, there are two kinds of death the Bible speaks of. Because of the curse of sin on the earth, there's a thing called physical death. That's what we're very familiar with. But because of the curse of sin in your soul, the Bible says there is also a spiritual death. You say, what is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is when your soul is separated from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. I want you to understand something very clearly. What every sinner deserves is not to go to heaven to be with God forever, but to go to hell to be separated from God forever. Heaven's a perfect place, and if people like us were to go to a place like heaven, I guarantee you it would no longer be a perfect place. And this is the great crisis that we are confronted with at the cross. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that the problem is none of us in our naturally born state are in Christ. We're in sin. We have a terrible problem with sin. I want to illustrate this to help us get a better grasp on what it means to be in sin. And so here is what I'll show you. I want to take this bin right here. And when you, this is you, in case you didn't know. When you were born into this world, the Bible says that you were born in sin. You were born into a sinful world. This world was really messed up before you entered into it. And now that you're here, well, that's a different story. I won't talk about that. All right? But there's you. Not only were you born in sin, but sin was born in you. When you were born, you were a sinner. And therefore, you have chosen to sin. And when God looks at you from heaven, what is it that he sees? Sin. All he can see is sin. And the fact that you do not deserve to go to heaven because of your sinfulness, this is a big problem. And God knew that we had this problem. And that's why we have the gospel. You see, God knew we had a problem that we could not solve ourselves. And so that's why in verse number 14, the Bible says that one died for all. Now help me out. Who was that one that died for all? Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, our Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. John 3:16, perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God knew we had this problem with sin. Sin defines us when we're born, and there's nothing we can do to get ourselves out of sin or to get sin out of us. We have this unsolvable problem in and of ourselves. And that's why God sent Jesus. And when Jesus came down into this world, the Bible says that He made a great exchange. I want you to see this great exchange in verse 21. Look down in our passage in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 21, the Bible tells us this. It says, "For He," now that's God, "has made Him," now that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, so that we," or who knew no sin, "so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In theological terms, we often refer to this verse as the great exchange. And I want to illustrate this part of the gospel to you as well. See, the Bible tells us that there came a day when God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come down into this world. And when Jesus came down into this world, He came to save us from our sins. And what that necessitated was Jesus going to the cross of Calvary. And on Calvary's cross, the Bible says that Jesus took your sin from you and placed it in Himself. He bore in His body our sins on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us. And not only did Jesus take our sin within Him, but the Bible says that He became sin for us, even though Christ had never sinned. What happened on the cross is that God placed the punishment for every single wrong thing you have ever done and will ever do on Jesus. And Jesus was punished for every sin you've ever done. Now, I can't even understand why He would do something like that. He didn't deserve what He got when He hung on that cross, but He did it because He loves you. The Bible says that when He suffered for our sins were paid for. There's someone who has paid the penalty for your sin, and that someone is Jesus. And when Jesus suffered for our sins, the Bible says that He took them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. And now, for any of you that believe in what Jesus did on the cross for you, the Bible says, if any man be where?
In Christ.
Amen. See, no longer do you have to be in your sin. If you trust in what Jesus did in taking your sin on the cross, He could forgive you of all your sin and place you in Christ, so that when God looks at you now, what does He see? Christ. You can have the very righteousness of God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, it gets better than that. Not only when you get saved are you in Christ, but the Bible also says that Christ is in you. You see, the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that the Spirit of Christ comes to live within you. So now you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. But the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 that that's not the end of it as well. The Bible also says that Christ is in God, and the threefold cord is hardly broken. Once you're saved, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing that can put you back into a sinful state. Once you believe in Jesus, your sins are paid for. You're on your way to heaven. And hallelujah, that's the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. This great crisis that we see at the cross was resolved by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Friend, the only crisis that remains is if you would be willing to believe in Jesus. See, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ. Not everybody is saved. There's some of you who are still very much bound in your sin. You've never experienced the forgiveness that Jesus is offering you because when He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Today, if you will hear the Word of God, don't harden your heart. Listen to what the Bible's telling you. Today needs to be the day that you come and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We see the first truth is the crisis at the cross. Here's the second truth I want you to note down, and that is the conversion at the cross. The conversion at the cross. You see, the Bible says in our verse 17, if any man be in Christ, let's read the next part out loud, he is a new creature. Isn't that awesome? If any man be in Christ, if this is where you're at, something happens the moment you get saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When a sinner comes to the cross of Christ and believes, everything changes for him. The Bible says, and he goes from death to life. He goes from darkness to light. He goes from sin to righteousness. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Boy, there is a great conversion that takes place the moment a sinner believes in Jesus and is saved. And the Bible tells us about this conversion in so many different places. And boy, every saved sinner needs to come to understand the amazing transformation that took place in your life the moment that you trusted Jesus as your Savior. See, the gospel is not just for people who are lost. The gospel is also for people who are saved. Because sometimes it's easy for us to lose track of what God actually did in us the moment we trusted Jesus as our Savior. And today we're going to be reminded of it, because I believe we need to. You see, the moment you placed your faith in Jesus, your life was transformed. Look at the verse again. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word new comes from the Greek word kainos. That could mean one of two things. It could mean recently made, or it could mean something made of a new kind. And really, both of those definitions are true of any believer. Once you get saved, you are recently made into something entirely new. And that is exactly what happens for every single believer in Christ. Once a person believes in Jesus, he is in that instant completely transformed into something entirely new. Now, that's hard to see because you still look the same on the outside, don't you? You get saved and you walk out and you go home and look in the mirror and there's that same old person. I don't know if that person's ugly or beautiful. That's your perspective, okay? But on the outside, we still look the same, but something's changed on the inside. Look at your notes in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. The Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, you live differently after you come to faith in Christ. Our text verse says that the old things are passed away. Here's what happens when you get saved. When Jesus died on the cross and you believed in him, he put to death your old man. Listen to me. Jesus is not interested in merely reforming your life. He's not looking to take the old you and try to make you better. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus takes the old you and says, I don't want that anymore. And puts the old you to death. And he gives you new life in his Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died, you died in him if you believed in him. And when Jesus rose again, his new life was born in your soul. And this is how the Bible explains it in Galatians 2 and verse 20. It's in your notes. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet it's not I, but who is it? Christ that lives in me. You see, the Spirit of God is born in your heart the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. And he gives you the power to do the things that you could have never done unless he enabled you to do them. This is the beautiful mystery and power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your soul. The moment you get saved, everything's changed. You're not the same person that you used to be. And boy, only Jesus has the power to create something new. Now, as humanity, we can take all the elements God has created and form and fashion them to try to invent things. But really, there's been nothing new made under the sun so long as this world has existed from the moment that God created the world. The only one who has creative power is the Lord. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 3 that by him were all things created. Jesus is the creator of all things. And the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, the miracle of a conversion, when someone gets saved from their sin, their life is transformed, the miracle of a person's conversion is just as astounding and just as amazing as the miracle of creation itself. Listen, don't miss this. The same God who spoke the word and the world was created speaks the word and a soul is transformed from darkness to light. He speaks the word and a person who was a drunkard and a person who used to be defined by sin and selfishness and all kinds of things, God speaks the word of the gospel into that person's life. And that old sinner becomes a saint, becomes a believer in the Lord, and his life is transformed. Friend, that's a miracle. And that's something that only our God can do. And I want you to understand this. Christian, listen to me. What the Bible does not say is that if any man be in Christ, he needs to try really hard to live like a new creature. Is that what it says? Look at it. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's not that I'm trying to make myself better. It's not that I'm trying to reform my life. When you believe in Jesus, he completely transforms your life so that you're not the same person that you used to be. Jesus does not want to merely reform your life. He wants to transform your life. That's the resurrection power of our God. Now this can be hard. Because as believers, we still struggle, don't we? We know we're supposed to be different. Sometimes we don't feel so different. Especially when we had that fight this morning before we came to church. You say, Pastor, were you in my closet? I promise you, I wasn't there. Okay? But we still struggle. We still sin. We still have issues. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. I'll tell you this. If you have genuinely been saved, God has begun to do a transformative work in your life. But here's how it happens. It happens from the inside out. And sometimes it takes some time for what's happening in your heart to start showing up in your life. In fact, it's going to take a lifetime. The transformation God's wrought in your heart will progressively begin to manifest itself throughout the rest of the days that you live on this earth. And friend, even when you don't feel saved, you can know you're saved when you put your faith in what the Word of God has said. And you trust that God, who saved you, is going to continue to do that transformative work in your life as you continue to live for Him. There's a couple promises I want you to see in your notes. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord says, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work shall continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so to summarize, let me just explain this to you. This is for believers. You know Christ as your Savior, but sometimes you wonder about the change he's working in your life. You eventually are going to have to come to a place where you change the way you view yourself. Listen, the moment you got saved, God changed the way he viewed you. Does God see you as a sinner anymore once you're saved? What does he see? He sees Christ. See, your identity changed the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. You're no longer defined by your sin. Now you're defined by your faith in Jesus. And God sees it that way. It's high time you start seeing it that way. Notice what the Bible says about this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed or made new in the spirit of your mind. You need to think differently now that you're saved, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, after you're saved, you've got to let God change your mind about some things. You have a new heart. You have a new perspective. You have new motives. You have new goals. Your whole life is different now when you believe in Christ as your Savior. And then one of my pastor mentors, he taught me something that I've never forgotten. I try to repeat it as often as I can. He says every Christian needs to come to a place where they say this statement, I am who God says I am. Can you say that out loud with me? I am who God says I am. So sometimes you wake up and you're a little angry and you're a little frustrated. And you want to say, well, I'm just a sinner. Well, I'm just that same old guy I've always been. No, I am who God says I am. And I don't have time to read all the scripture, but let me just give you a short summary of some of the things that God says about you the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. See, the Bible says that in Christ, I am loved, I am chosen, I am forgiven, I am justified, I am redeemed, I am holy, I am faultless. Listen, in Christ, I am not condemned anymore. I am free from sin. I am free from death. I am accepted. I am favored. I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of the King. I'm a saint. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm the temple of the very Spirit of God. I am a more than a conqueror through Him that has loved me. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friend, when you get saved, it's all different now. Your life is no longer defined by what it used to be, but now by what God has done for you. See, it's not about what you do for God, but it's about what God does for you and in you. That's now what defines you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Think about the story of John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. I'm sure you've all heard Amazing Grace before. John Newton was a slave trader. And his life was defined by drunkenness, debauchery, and the devastation and death of the lives of countless people. There was a day when God spoke to John Newton's heart, and he was gloriously saved. Not too long after he was saved, he became a preacher. Of course, we know in his later years, he wrote that hymn we love so much, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. He was a man who truly experienced the grace of God. He was also a man who discovered that his life no longer had to be defined by the failures of his past. Because when he got saved, Jesus cleansed him from all of that. And he became a new man. And here's a quote that I give you from John Newton. John Newton said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Believer, you may not be everything that you hope to be. You may not be everything you feel like you should be. But thank God you're not what you once were. And that He's still working on you to conform you into the image of His Son. That's the hope of the resurrection. And before we move on, I'll just say this. If you claim to be a Christian, but your life has never changed, I would seriously question whether you have truly trusted Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You can't help but change when you experienced genuine regeneration, genuine salvation. And I would challenge you to examine your own heart today. You may be holding on to a religion or something your mama said. Well, you were saved and baptized when you were little. You never made it personal. Don't hang on to that. This is between you and God. Listen, I wouldn't go to hell because my mom said I was going to heaven. You need to make a personal decision that just Christ is your Savior. If any man be in Christ. We see the crisis at the cross. We see the conversion at the cross. But the final thing, I want to be brief with this. But the final thing I want us to see is the consensus at the cross. The consensus. You see, there is a general consensus that everyone will come to when they see someone who has experienced the cross of Christ. And that is this. Look at the end of our text verse, 1 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. You read the last part with me. It says, behold, all things are become new. To put it in our modern day vernacular, we could put it this way. Look, everything's different now. You ever seen somebody who you knew when you were in high school and you knew that they were just a rebel? You knew they were the scum of the earth, right? And then you meet them years later in church. That's a funny place to meet people, right? I've seen this a lot more in small town America, okay? And I've often heard some of you kid around with each other and say, wow, I'm surprised the building didn't fall down when you walked in here, right? Because a lot of you know how a person used to be before Jesus entered into the picture of their life. But once Jesus entered into their story, you look at their life now and you say, look, everything's different. What happened to you? And the answer is always the same. Jesus. That's what happened. See, the Bible says all things are become new. That phrase, that verb become in the Greek is in the perfect tense. And we don't have a perfect tense in the English language, but the perfect tense in the Greek, it literally speaks of a completed action which continues to carry forth its effects into this present day. So here's what happened. When you got saved, your life was transformed. That was a completed action. You are a new creature in Christ. But that reality is still beginning to carry its effects into this present day. From the moment you got saved, your life continues to change. And your life continues to transform and become more and more like Jesus Christ, so that you are no longer defined by what you used to be. And more you're defined by what Christ has made you to be. And before we're done, I have one more illustration. And I've asked some people to come forward and help me with this. So if you would come forward at this time, I would really appreciate it. As a pastor through the years, it has been my privilege to be able to meet people who have varying testimonies. It is humbling to see the impact of what Christ has done in the hearts and lives of people. If you don't mind, pass those out for me, I appreciate it. It's been humbling to see what Christ does in the hearts and lives of people. I've seen people get saved out of drunkenness, out of addiction. I've also seen children get saved before they had to face a lifetime of those heartaches. But it's always a miracle when someone comes to the cross of Jesus and realizes they're a sinner. They confess their sin and they trust Jesus as their Savior. He transforms their life. Here are some people that this has happened to. I want to have all of you come stand up here on the platform if you would for me. These are some dear people from our church. Each one of these people have trusted Christ as their Savior. But I've asked them to write one word to define their lives before they knew Christ. Before they came to know Christ as their Savior. You all got those words written down for me? Why don't you turn them around if you've got those words written down. Lost. We've got destruction. We've got afflicted. An angry reprobate. Wrecked. And hellbound. I dare say some of you sitting in here today might be able to identify with these words. You might feel lost. You might feel condemned. You might feel angry, afflicted. That's their life before they met Christ. And that can be the story for any person without Christ in their life. And I want you guys to erase those words. I've asked them to write one more word to define their life now that they have trusted Christ as their Savior. Listen, you may feel that way today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the people at Corinth and lists a whole list of all their sins that they used to struggle with. And then the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you, but now you are washed, and now you are sanctified, and now you are justified by the Spirit of God working through Jesus Christ. Everything's different for a person once Jesus enters into their story. And once Jesus entered into these people's story, their lives changed. Let's see the next word. Love. Life. Free. Forgiven and happy. Hopeful. Liberty. Listen, everything changed for these people. And I wish that I could take the time to tell every one of their testimony and the testimony of several of you who are in this room, because there's some beautiful stories of God's grace that gives Him great glory represented by these people. But listen, they're not the only ones who can experience the transformative power of our resurrected Savior. You can too, my friend. Your story does not have to remain bleak and dreary. Your story can be transformed for God's glory when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And everything is different for a person that does. Hey, let's hear it for these ones that have volunteered to come. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to tell you something. I don't know what your word would be today. I don't know if it'd be good or if it'd be bad, but I tell you this right now, Jesus Christ can transform your life if you'll let Him. Listen to me. Some of you are absolutely lost. You do not know Christ. You need to come trust Christ as your Savior today. You need to let God begin to do His transformational work in your heart by confessing your sins to the Lord and letting Him cleanse you of your sins and forgive you and come into your life and begin to do this work of transformation in your heart. There are others of you, you've been saved. You've been saved for a long time. But you have to admit, your life sure hasn't been changing much. You say, why is that, Pastor? Well, you know, sometimes we allow our busyness, our worldliness, our sinfulness to stifle the work of grace that God wants to do in our lives. And here's what I'll say to you. If you already know you're saved, you don't need to get saved again. But if God's work is not being allowed to happen in your life, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You might need to lay some things on the altar today and say, Lord, Your resurrection power is in my soul, and here I am, not growing, because I've been more focused on my sin, on my stuff, than on letting You do Your work in my heart. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Believer, God's not finished with you yet. Listen, the gospel isn't just for people who are lost. It's very much for people who are still saved. And Christian, it's about time you rededicate your life to the Lord and let Him who began a good work in you continue to perform it until Jesus comes. If you're lost, you're desolate, Jesus can make all things new for you. If you're saved, but you've lost hope, Jesus can make all things new for you today. Let's allow Him to do His work in our hearts.